We start hour number two with the head coach at Arizona State. He led the Sun Devils to the tournament in his third season. He made three Final Four appearances as a player, a two-time national champion, the 1992 NCAA Final Four Most Outstanding Player. Arizona State was 20-12 this season. Sweet 16 tipping off tonight. Bobby Hurley is my guest. Bobby, it's great to have you back on. How are you?
Pretty good, Jim. Great to be with you, man.
Bobby, you too. You know, Bobby, you and I have not spoken since Selection Sunday, so let me start right there. Take me back. When Arizona State's name was announced, the team goes crazy. You guys all jump into your swimming pool. What do you remember feeling in that moment, and then how special was that for you and your guys?
Well, Jim, we started here 3 years ago, and, you know, Trey Holder and Cody Justice were two guys that stayed in the program and wanted to see it through with me. Shannon Evans transferred from Buffalo with me to Arizona State. He had to sit out a year. And those three guys were all seniors. And coming into this year, that was our main goal to make the NCAA tournament, have those guys get that experience and take the next step in terms of the program. So, you know, we started out great, you know, as good as anybody in the country in the non-conference. And then, you know, we lost a lot of close games. You know, we finished under 500 in the league, which, we weren't thrilled about. We put ourselves in a really tough spot in terms of seeing whether we were going to make the field or not. So we suffered for a couple of days. I know I did, just looking at teams that possibly could have been in the field and seeing what their resume looked like and wondering if we were going to get selected. And just all that anxiety and suffering and pain was kind of released in that moment when we saw our name hit the board.
Bobby Hurley joining us. Lots of good stuff in that answer. So let me ask you this then. In terms of the moment, what was a better moment? You jumping into the pool in celebration or the reaction maybe of your brother Dan when it was announced that you were in the tournament? I mean, Bobby, I've got to say, I loved how much he loved that you were in. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, Jim, it was special, man. That morning, they were getting ready to play Davidson, and we spoke about an hour before the game, and they were playing for the A-10 tournament championship, and his main focus was, like, he knew where we stood, that we were right, like, on the bubble, and one of the last teams in or out of the tournament, so he's like, man, they're not getting this bid today, they're not stealing the bid, and I'm going to make sure we win this championship, and, you know, he was doing that, thinking about me and not thinking about himself, and it was and, you know, they lost a close game, really, played a heck of a game, came up a little short in that championship game. But so he thought we might have been out of the tournament, and he knew he had a chance to securely put us in. And so to see that type of emotion once I got, toweled off after going in the pool, I saw his reaction. It was unbelievable. We got such a tight connection, Dan and I.
Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley joining us. You know, and then you've got the entire family. For instance, Bobby, I had Coach K on the show earlier this week, and we were talking about you and Dan and your father. Coach K was talking about how much he respects the fact that the whole family embraces what he calls the dignity of work. Let me get your thoughts on that. Is that how you see that, the dignity of work? And when you consider what a relentless grind coaching is, all the other things that you could do, what is it that you like about that hard work and that process?
Yeah, I think, Jim, just growing up in my household, you know, my dad loved basketball. It was such a passion for it. We watched it all the time, whether it was college or pro. I grew up in the gym. You know, I probably spent more time in the gym than in my house, just with all his teams, and just saw how seriously he took, you know, coaching and winning and you know, getting his players better and getting them college scholarships and you know, the reward of that. And, you know, so I just saw that, you know, nonstop growing up. So, you know, we really internalize it, you know, take it very seriously. Dan has done an unbelievable job of building, you know, a program at Rhode Island, and I'm sure he's going to do the same now at UConn. And, you know, we just take it very personal. And, basketball and building a winning program means a lot. And, we're just going to keep pushing to make that happen.
Bobby Hurley, the head coach at Arizona State. Bobby, you mentioned that Dan got the job at UConn this morning. I know how much he loved Rhode Island. So I'm curious, what kind of conversations, if any, did the two of you have as he was going through that process? And then what do you make of this new fit for him?
Yeah, I just think that he obviously wanted to make that decision, you know, on his own and with his family. And I know that he did that yesterday. We spoke early in the morning, about all three opportunities and, some pluses and minuses. But, you know, deep down, he's got such, he had such a strong connection to Rhode Island. You know, the fans, the administration, the players that he was coaching in the program, and it's always, you know, just a gut wrenching decision to leave that. And but ultimately, I think there are some things that he feels that he could accomplish at UConn, and I'm sure he'll you know, he'll share all those with everyone tomorrow when he has his press conference. But I'm just happy that that he's at peace with a decision, and then I know he's going to do a great job at UConn.
Bobby Hurley joining us once again. Bobby, in terms of Coach K also, he talked about recruiting you, that he knew that you played for one of the greatest coaches ever, your father. Can you remember, what was that process like? What do you remember about being recruited by Coach K?
I just remember my visit specifically. I knew that he followed me around quite a bit at the tournaments, and I always saw him there. I knew there was great interest, but you know, the visit was unbelievable, just to see how he interacted with his family and having the players over at his house, and just very family oriented when I went there. And you know, spent my visit with Danny Ferry, who was the player of the year in college basketball, so I'm sure that helped some too. But you know, just the plane flight back for me, you know, Coach K flew back on the plane and continued to talk about Duke and what I would do there. And then he wanted to have a home visit at my house on Sunday night, following just, you know, being bombarded for a whole weekend. I finally went to the kitchen and I just told my parents, look, I want to go to Duke, but I want to get these guys out of here because I'm tired, you know. But he was relentless, just recruiting and letting me know, you know, the impact that I'd have on the program.
Yeah, Bobby, that does not surprise me at all, but I'll tell you what does. On a certain level, and maybe it shouldn't, him being relentless even now. I mean, you know, now that you've been a head coach for a while, what do you think when you see Coach K still as relentless as ever before, going as hard as he is after more than 40 years as a head coach? What do you think when you see that?
Yeah, it's amazing because, like, I had a unique perspective, an unusual one as a player, where I expected to go to the tournament, go to the Final Four, and had that belief. And it's unrealistic. You know, it just doesn't work that way. It's even given me greater appreciation for, you know, how good he is and how he's been able to sustain it over years, and the success that he's had. And, you know, like you say, the energy and the fire that he still coaches with, and, you know, in recruiting and during the season. So it's hard, man. It was such a struggle, you know, for us to get into the NCAA tournament this year and have that type of season. So to see him just do that year in and year out is just an amazing feat.
You want to see his flexibility, right? Now you see him playing zone defense. You see him using one and dones. I mean, he's changing with the game itself. We're good. They're good. We know they're good. Are they championship good this year?
I mean, I just I haven't watched them as much as I would like, just being out west and having my own season and that kind of thing. But you know, he's got experience. You know, Grayson Allen's experience, been in these type of games before. And you know, his front court is ridiculous, you know, with Bagley and Carter, and, you know, just the depth at those positions as well. So, and like you say, Jim, I think the great thing about him is he's not married to a specific system. He'll look at his team and then build a way to play based on the guys he has in the program. And he's done that over the years. It's not like, you know, he realized this year that he needed to switch to zone and then that's been more effective for him, and he's always very flexible to change. And a lot of coaches aren't flexible to get out of their comfort zone and try and build a system around, you know, your players.
Hey, Bobby, when I talked to Dan last, I wanted to ask him, but we ran out of time. So let me ask you, is he as big of a horse guy as you and I are, or is that more your thing?
Jim, it's funny you say that. I have an E60 that was run, and Dan has a pretty good quote in there saying, like, you know, I'm not sure where the horse thing came with Bobby. There aren't a lot of horses in Jersey City, New Jersey, growing up. Dan's got a great sense of humor about it. I've tried to educate him some over the years, but I don't think he has the passion for it that I do. And you know, I've watched all the preps already this year, all the Derby preps, so I'm getting ready for that, and it's exciting because that's, you know, right around the corner.
And Bobby, you know, you and I both know there are guys, you know, be it Rick Pitino or others in sports, celebrities that are in the game, but it doesn't mean they really understand the game or have a passion for the game. I know you do, and especially if you're watching the preps already, you had a Derby horse in Song and a Prayer. You and I have talked about him. But we've never really gotten into this. What's it like? Like, I've had success at the highest level, and I've never gotten anywhere near the Derby. What's it like to put your horse in that gate? What's that feeling like to you as somebody who's played the game at the highest level?
I went out there and spent a few days before the race, and every morning I would go and watch him train. And it's like, you know, one of the big events you're getting ready for. It's like going to a Final Four or something on that level. In the morning after he would train, you know, he would get his bath right outside the stall there, and there'd be, you know, 40 or 50 people just wanting to take pictures of him because he was going to be in the field. And, you know, you have media all around, and it's such you get a feeling that it's such a big event. And then just to take that walk on the track at Churchill, you know, over to the paddock, and just the sense of all the enthusiasm and, you know, the possibility of winning that race and the history and the tradition behind it. It was an awesome moment just to be able to walk over there with the horse and then be in the paddock with all the electricity of that race.
So, Bobby, one last thing. When he went out and he ran the fastest half mile ever in the Derby, knowing the game the way you do, were you thinking, oh, no, he's come out too fast? Or were you thinking, man, I've got a hell of a lot of horse. Today is our day.
No, I was out. I knew we were done at the half mile mark. It was 44-4. You know, if he was going to be on the lead, if he was loose on the lead with like 47 for a half, then we had a chance. But he was going way too fast. I was there with my trainer John Dowd, and we had been in these races with him before, and the track was lightning fast anyway, and it just didn't set up well for us. We had post 1-2, we had no chance but to go right to the lead, and we saw those fractions. We knew we couldn't stay at the end.
At the same time, though, Bobby, you'll never forget that, and you and I both know that if
there
are 30,000 or 40,000 horses born every single year and only 20 get in that gate, that's an amazing thing, an amazing feeling, I bet.
Absolutely, yeah, and you know it. It's such a, you know, such a great sport, and you know, I follow some of your pictures you put up with the babies and stuff that you're, and good luck to you with everything and the breeding and the racing.
My man, Bobby, you too. Great to have you on. Keep working on Dan. Maybe we'll get him to come to the dark side. But, Bobby, great to have you on. Appreciate the visit. Thank you very much, and I'll run you down again soon.
All right. Very good, Jim. Talk to you.
Bobby Hurley, head basketball coach at Arizona State, and he had an extremely decorated career. And he and Dan both killing it as head coaches. Dan gets new opportunity. He leaves Rhode Island. He goes to UConn. And Bobby Hurley's got things going at Arizona State.